Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
James, before we get into the news proper, we wanted to first wish a congratulations to Tony winner Billy Porter.
Oh, yeah. First up, Billy Porter. He married his longtime partner, Adam Smith, last Saturday. We want to say congratulations and say hello to Billy, who's been a huge supporter of Broadway Radio, and we wish him all the best.
Yeah, hopefully he is doing some other honeymoon-type activities and not necessarily listening to us, but I guess Broadway Radio would be a good way to start a day on a honeymoon.
Absolutely.
All right. Also, while we are recording over at the Highline Ballroom in New York, there is a collection of fierce women, I think that's what the kids say, absolutely slaying Andrew Lloyd Webber's score to Jesus Christ Superstar. Morgan James, Shoshana Bean, Debbie Gravett, Orfei, Kiala Settle, Alex Newell, Ann Harada, Shayna Steele, Ellen Marie Marsh, and more are doing an all-female concert of Jesus Christ Superstar. It's one night only, but James, I hope this is awesome because I'd love for this to get a longer commercial run. This is one of my favorite scores, and these are some of my favorite women doing this show.
Hey, is anybody from Broadway World over there covering it? Maybe we'll get some video?
I don't know because it's a holiday. I'm not sure what everybody's doing, but I would be shocked if there wasn't some sort of video or pictures or something that popped up somewhere.
All right, let's get on to the news of the day. First up, the Jersey Brothers closed on Sunday.
The Jersey Brothers? Are those?
That's kind of an inside joke. Justin, who's 13, my son, is used to call it Jersey Brothers. Yeah, he'd just be like, can we go see Jersey Brothers again? Because he saw it a few times, he really liked it.
All right. It sounds like something where, you know a guy, so you call the Jersey Brothers. And
yeah.
Anyway, after 4,680 total Broadway performances, Jersey Boys closed on Broadway on Sunday, ending its 11-plus year run at the August Wilson Theater. The show began performances on October 4th, 2005, and is now the 12th longest running show in Broadway history and is the longest running show of any theater at a Jujamson, or of any show at a Jujamson theater. So congratulations to them. At the closing curtain call, Frankie Valli, who is obviously the focal point of the show and one of the drivers behind its creation, thanked the show's cast and crew and said that he was, quote, proud to be a Jersey boy. We will have a link to the final curtain call and Valli's speech in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com, so check that out if you are so inclined. But we mentioned the show was closing last week, but one reason why I really wanted to talk about it today is that there's a really cool article about the show in the New York Times that looks at the show's early investors, mostly Broadway novices from Southern California who were first introduced to the Des McAnuff-directed show when it was playing at the La Jolla Playhouse before it came to New York. The show has gone on to gross more than $2 billion. That's with a B, dollars worldwide. And the article's author, Michael Paulson, said that it has been really difficult for the investors to pinpoint exactly how much money they made from the show because many of them rolled their profits from the Broadway production into other productions and tours around the world. But the largest individual investor, Kevin Kinsella, bought a library in San Diego and turned it into a Four Seasons museum. And he also owns a winery now, so apparently he's done fairly well for himself. As Paulson details, many of the initial investors also went on to invest in other Broadway shows, but as you can probably guess, had much worse results so far. There were stories in Paulson's article about people investing in the last Jesus Christ Superstar revival, in Dr. Zhivago, which also had early roots at La Jolla, and some who are looking to maybe turn their luck around are now currently invested in Dear Evan Hansen. James, it's a really cool inside baseball article, so I highly recommend it. And if any of them are feeling like investing again, there's a new production of Jesus Christ Superstar that I think could probably take some money for potential commercial run if they're feeling frisky.
Wow, that's cool. And I wonder if there's anybody you talked about Dear Evan Hansen, but anybody from Jersey Boys that got involved with Hamilton? What were you going to say?
I thought you were going to go a Bronx Tale, but
Bronx Tale's kicking my ass, you know?
Just the comparisons between the two shows. I thought that's where you were going.
Oh, no. Bronx Tale, I I didn't give it a great review. I wish them the best, but I didn't give them a great review. But they are doing numbers.
Yes, they are.
They are really pulling it in. So good for them. I'm really excited. You know, what does Peter say? I'd rather that you enjoy it than agree with me. Something along those lines. So next up, Lisa Kron and Daniel Zaychek awarded the Kleben Prize.
Yeah, on Monday, it was announced that Lisa Kron and Daniel Zaychek had been awarded the 2017 Kleben Prizes for Writing and Musical Theater. Both received a $100,000 gift to go along with the prize. An established playwright, Crone's first attempt at musical theater writing was a little show called Fun Home, for which she wrote the book and libretto and won a pair of Tony Awards. Zaychek is a musical theater lyricist. He is also a playwright whose projects, including Picnic at Hanging Rock, have been developed at Lincoln Center and Ars Nova. The Kleben Foundation was established in 1988 as decreed in the will of a Chorus Line Tony and Pulitzer Prize winner, Edward Kleben. This year's judges were Robert and Kristen Anderson Lopez, the actress Mary Testa, and Ira Weitzman. James, I didn't know this, but when we were kind of going through the script, apparently there are some folks who are not too happy about the selection here.
Yeah, I mean, there's folks who are talking about what big fans they are of these two recipients, but that they felt that the Kleben Prize should be awarded to up-and-coming artists that have not yet perhaps had a hit show on Broadway and won a Tony Award, that nobody holds it against Lisa Kron, but that, you know, this is meant for development of new artists, and she has already arrived. Just a little bit of people out there. And again, nobody holds it against her because, you know, she's very talented and nobody is arguing that at all. They're just thinking that they wish it had gone, you know, to someone else who, you know, might be on the fence of I can't really write this week because I really have to work to pay some bills, and perhaps the Kleben Prize is more along those lines. But I don't know. I'm not a writer. So all I know is I sit on the sidelines and read these things.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely understand where they're coming from. But I think it's also important to note that this was her actual first musical that she'd ever written. And she was not exactly a huge Broadway level playwright. She wrote really great, interesting shows, but they were on a much smaller level. So I think the fact that she had one really big hit, and it was a really big hit in terms of the awards it won, but it, you know, didn't run for 12 years like Jersey Boys. So I can see both sides of that. I can understand some of the, you know, the apprehension about it from some writers, but I also understand that she's obviously super talented and a fantastic writer and is really new to the musical theater thing. So I, you know, it's hard for me to fault people like, you know, Bobby and Kristen Anderson Lopez and Mary Testa and Ira Weitzman. It's like those people know what they're talking about. So I'll defer to them, I guess.
Absolutely. That's an excellent point you bring up about her. Next up, the Clintons attend the final matinee for The Humans. They have a lot of free time on their hands, don't they?
Don't remind me. As we mentioned, going into this past weekend, Jersey Boys wasn't the only Broadway show to close on Sunday. The Tony-winning play The Humans also finished a successful Broadway run on January 15th, and at the final matinee to bid them farewell were Bill and Hillary Clinton. The previous week, the New York power couple attended the final performance of A Color Purple, and in both cases, they were greeted with thunderous applause and a standing ovation from the audience. My Broadway World colleague Karen Robbins was actually at The Humans performance and sat just a couple rows behind the Clintons. And before the Clintons even got down the aisle, she heard everybody start standing up and cheering. And she leaned over to her sister and said, "I think the Clintons are here." So she knew after what happened at A Color Purple they kind of knew what to expect. But Oh Hello is the only show closing on Broadway this Sunday. So if you want to hobnob with the Clintons, I'd get your tickets now. I think Bill and Hillary would be a great final guests for Too Much Tuna. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not a spoiler. I don't have any inside information, but that would be a great final guest duo to close down that Broadway run.
Hey, you know who was at Hamilton this weekend?
I don't. Who?
New Jersey Governor Christopher Christie was there at Hamilton, and I was very excited that there was no press coverage of it.
Yeah, I mean, from a Broadway World perspective, if, you know, something would have happened, it probably would have helped our weekend traffic. But that's surprising. I had no idea that he was there. So I guess good for him. Who knows? No, I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to stay away from that one and Bridgegate and all that stuff. But anyway.
Yeah, I wonder if he started a little bit early just in case he had some traffic getting over the bridge. All right. Our good buddies over in the land of awesome accents. they are totally awesome. John Schwab and Matt Humphreys over the Curtain Call Theater podcast over in London. They've got some news. So tell us about that.
They do. You'll remember last year we talked a lot about John and Matt's Curtain Call. They what they do is they do a book every year. Last year was their first year. They go backstage with all of the big shows in London. They take pictures from the backstage perspective of the actors in the dressing room, in the warm-up room, in the wings. And they also do interviews as well backstage. And last week, actually a week ago, today, on January 10th, they visited the London cast of the David Bowie musical Lazarus on the one-year anniversary of Bowie's death. I got an email from John. Episode goes live this morning, UK time, so it's probably already up. Just talk about what a great experience it was. There was a at the Curtain Call an impromptu happy birthday, which doesn't seem exactly appropriate for the anniversary of someone's death, but in the case of David Bowie, I guess anything out of the ordinary is appropriate. But they talked to cast members Michael C. Hall, Michael Esper, Sophie Ann Caruso, and Amy Lennox, along with producer Zelda Perkins and musical director Tom Cowley. I can't wait to listen to it. These guys do such great work, and it's so different than anything else. The book that they put together, they'll have another one coming out for 2016, and then obviously they're already working on the 2017 one. It's just so unique and so different, and I love it so much. And their podcast literally is the only theater podcast out there of its kind. So definitely check that out if you haven't heard it. They do great stuff, and what a great cast. I know a lot of people that listen to this show probably saw Lazarus and its New York Theater Workshop run, and they'll be interested to hear this stuff as well.
So our listeners out there, please get over to Curtain Call podcast over on iTunes, download it and listen to it. There's nothing going on here this week, so go listen to them.
It's slow here in the U.S. theater scene, so definitely check out the stuff across the pond where the awesome accents lurk.
So let's talk about how slow things are for just a moment. If you will forgive me from vamping for a second, because I had this thing and it was gone. It was right here. Where did I
put it? Well, I will say this is Tuesday's episode. Normally we do Broadway grosses on Tuesdays, but because of the Martin Luther King holiday on Monday, they have been delayed from the Broadway League. So we'll actually do them on tomorrow's episode because they'll be released on Tuesday.
So my point in talking about this is that I was just planning the rest of the season, and there are 22 openings left. There's two in January, two in February, six in March, 13 in April. In April, you are going to have the whole month to yourself because I don't know how we're going to do a show and go to these openings.
I'll find someone else to co-host with.
Oh, if you would like to co-host with Matt, please send us an email at james@broadwayradio.com and we'll fit you in somehow. So, I'm just looking at the calendar here. Well, the present already opened, but Jitney's opening, Sunset Boulevard, Sunday in the Park with George, Significant Other, The Glass Menagerie, Come From Away, The Price, Miss Saigon, Sweat, The Play That Goes Wrong, Amelie, Present Laughter, Oslo, Groundhog Day, Indecent, The Little Foxes, Hello Dolly, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Anastasia, 6 Degrees of Separation, Bandstand, and A Doll's House Part 2. So that is some 5 months coming up for us here.
Yeah. There's a lot of shows. It's definitely a heavy spring season. But what's great about it is that there are a really wide-ranging selection of shows. There are musical revivals. There's a lot of new musicals. There are play revivals. There are a couple new plays, not a ton, but there are a handful of new plays. A Doll's House Part 2, Oslo, Sweat, Significant Other, The Play That Goes Wrong. There's a decent amount of new plays as well, which is something we don't often get in the spring. So I'm excited to see what happens with everything opening up here in the next few months.
Well, we better carb load up and get some good sleep. So why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending some of your Tuesday with us, and we'll be back and talk with you tomorrow.